Hello and welcome to the Ride Pure podcast by Royal Enfield. We've been speaking to a whole bunch of very interesting people on the sidelines of Ridermania, which is going on in Goa right now. And today we've got a man by the name of Harshvardhan Joshi. Now, you may not know, he's been to the highest mountain in the world. Yeah, he's gone to the top of Mount Everest and come back. And we have him right here across the table with us. He's an engineer by education, a mountaineer by passion, but a sustainability advocate by compassion. So tell me a little bit more about yourself, Harsh.
Hey, I'm Harsh. Of course, I climb mountains. Apart from that, I'm an engineer and I'm on a mission to make outdoor experiences accessible to all while improving adventure safety. So I founded a small company called Elevate Expeditions, where we take people on leadership training experiences through adventure trips. Just to share learnings from my transformational experiences in the Himalayas, which I would like to talk more about during our talk.
So in your process of taking people to that space where they can explore adventure, how do you define the spirit of adventure? Harsh has just told us that he's a mountaineer, a cyclist, and has also been a motorcyclist. So he's been to Ladakh several times on two wheels, both pedaled as well as motorized. So tell me a little bit more about your idea of the sense of adventure. What is the spirit of adventure that we talk about?
I think it is stepping outside your comfort zone, making sacrifices, exploring the unknown. It is very difficult to define adventure per se. I have never thought about it that way. And it is subjective for everyone. Like, for example, since I have been to Everest, maybe some places on some days might not be adventurous for me, but for many other people. And sometimes now, right here in Goa, when I go for a short 2-hour hike to watch the sunrise, sometimes I find it more adventurous than the most hostile places on earth. So it is that feeling, fear of the unknown and the view, the satisfaction, the thrill. I don't know if I can define it in one word.
So we'll narrow it down a bit. Your first adventure, sense of adventure, when you went on top of a mountain on a big cycling expedition, on a long motorcycling expedition. Can you remember those for us?
So it was on a hike near Mumbai.
Okay.
When I was just an engineer. Like even before I took up engineering, I used to assemble and sell computers. And a group of clients, doctors, took me for a hike to a nearby wildlife sanctuary. That is when I got introduced to hiking. We went to one natural infinity pool, a very big waterfall, where I train every day now for the past few years.
So you go there even today?
Yeah, I got introduced 11 years ago, but over the past 6-7 years, that's been my training ground for Everest and other big peaks. And that is what, when I got introduced to it, and whatever I get into, I like to do it passionately or try to reach the epitome of it.
So that's 11 years ago, and you went on top of Mount Everest in 2021?
Yeah, it was around 1.5 years ago.
And in the immediate aftermath of COVID, you had COVID, right?
Yes, I went post the mainstream waves, post the first and second wave.
So what was it like? Because I've been through COVID myself and it's left some lasting scars. I mean, breathing difficulties, etc. So for a mountaineer like you, what was it like?
So I got COVID 40 days into the expedition, just when I was leaving for the summit push at the most perilous place on earth, where there is lack of oxygen, no infrastructure, no communications, no medical facilities. And it was difficult mentally, and of course it was fatal. So I decided to not continue my climb, but I also decided that I won't give up and fly out, get evacuated. I isolated myself for 11 days in a tent. It was mentally difficult, physically also a little, but more so mentally. It was a great learning experience. And fortunately, because of a lot of real-time decision making and different measures, 11 days later I got a foot in the door opportunity, during which I was able to make it to the top of the world.
That is absolutely awesome and inspiring. Guys, Harsh has been telling us that the spirit of adventure is about stepping out of your comfort zone, and I can't think of a better example of how you can step out of your comfort zone isolating yourself in the mountain for 11 days, no help at all, and then going back at it with renewed energy in the aftermath of COVID. That is fantastic. Now, moving on to your cycling, you're an active cyclist, right? So what was your first cycling moment?
So in fact, I started with motorcycles as a teenager. Then I got into cycling when I was in...
So you started with motorcycles. Usually yes. It's the other way around.
Yeah, but I was always a big fan of motorcycling because my dad had a vintage one. Mm-hmm. And we would go to the beaches on that. And then I was like, okay, I want a motorcycle.
So how old were you when you first rode it?
I was underage. I was 15.
Okay, fair enough. 15. So guys, don't do that. Get your license. When you're 18, then go riding.
Yes. And then... At 18, I took up cycling. I come from a humble background and never had a cycle. I would borrow people's cycles and go to college on that or go to the beaches. That's how I got into fitness and active lifestyle. Back then, I would go to those places with my friends to chill or to catch the sunrise or sunset.
You've just done Ironman, right?
Here yeah, that was that was this Sunday, 5 days ago. When we rode 90 kilometers on a bicycle in Goa, and I have done that before. So since past 5-8 years, I'm much more active into long distance cycling. I try to do one race every 2 years just to have fun, just to challenge myself and my body.
90 kilometers on a bicycle. I'm tired already. What about your first motorcycling moment?
I don't remember my first motorcycling moment precisely, but I remember one of my first expeditions, which was in Ladakh, mm-hmm. To the highest motorable road back then, Khardungla. And the moment I had crossed that, it was on a rented Royal Enfield. I was on a 3-month solo Himalayan expedition. And when I crossed Khardungla and went into Nubra Valley, it was so, so beautiful. I still remember, there was no network, but I wrote in my phone, journaled, that it's so beautiful that even if unfortunately someone dies today, I would still be happy because I had those tears of joy with the dust on my face, with that wind and the blue sky. I can still feel it, although I've been to that valley like maybe 40 times since then.
And this would be which year?
This was in 2016. I was around 19 or 20, I guess. And it was one of my first travels and first expeditions. It was a 90-day Himalayan expedition when I was just getting into mountaineering.
So tell me something. If we are talking about the spirit of adventure, do you find parallels between mountaineering, cycling, motorcycling, or even walking, hiking?
In everything, not just these, even in everyday life, I think all journeys are the same. It's the same thing. And if you want to achieve something, it's like being disciplined, having that consistency, stepping outside your comfort zone and being optimistic. In fact, even today as an entrepreneur, I find a lot of parallels. And whenever I am in a difficult situation, I just, let's say, motorcycling helped me with cycling, that helped me become a minimalistic runner, then the treks helped me become a more better decision maker or live in the moment, and now mountaineering has made me more calm to focus on what's important, and now I'm back to square one, that now I'm living in the metros, trying to bring lessons from my adventures to the business side of things.
Right. We'll move the game on a little bit in a different direction. The idea of exploration. Now, as a mountaineer, you're doing a different kind of exploration. As a cyclist, again, you're doing a different kind of exploration. Your trip to Ladakh back in 2016 was an exploration. How do you define exploration?
For me, it's more like a learning experience. Like I started travel for learning because I think it's the greatest teacher. And I try to go to places at least once where I've never been before. It can be anywhere. It's still great. And yeah, I think that's it for me. For me, exploration is mostly learning. Learning through different landscapes, cultures, different situations.
What about communities? Do you often interact with local communities when you're in the mountains?
Of course, yeah. That's why I switched to cycling, because it's much more slow travel. And then sometimes I have to ask for help. I have to interact with a lot of people. I mostly travel solo so that I can make more friends, experience more kindness while hitchhiking, while doing all those stuff. So it's all about community. Like if I go in a group or something, I might be busy in my community within my friends. But I mostly do solo travel in the Himalayas or at any place, like even in Goa right now, mm-hmm. during my Ironman, I had a very humbling experience because of the communities, different communities.
Adventure, exploration, these two, when you combine them, usually carries a certain amount of risk. Could be risk to physicality, could be risk to anything. How do you advocate safety in promoting adventure, promoting exploration? How would you keep yourself safe?
Being much more mindful and responsible. So just follow the mantra that over prepare and go with the flow. So even when I started mountaineering as a kid, like as a teenager, I of course had never been an active kid or an outdoorsy kid, no exposure, nothing. But 6 months prior to that, I started reading. Fortunately, like people were there who just told me that, Harsh, you should just do some research. And I had read 10 books. I had learned about survival. I carried extra dry fruits, a Swiss knife and whatnot. And when I showed up on my first hike, which was a 5-day desert trekking expedition near the borders in Rajasthan, everyone thought that, oh my God, this guy is an astronaut. And no way I was anywhere close to where I am today. But I over-prepared for the worst and then went with the flow. And things will still never go your way. But just being prepared and responsible helps. So many people, while going on an adventure, want to be careless, but it doesn't have to be that way. Just do your research. Similarly, for us in mountaineering, speed is safety. So you don't need to be ultra fit, but the fitter you are, you can go and reach places and be back to safety before the weather turns in. Or in case of an adverse situation, you are better prepared to handle it and face it. So yeah, physical preparation, having those values of discipline and punctuality, being respectful about the place and doing diligent research in any adventure. I think those are the basic 101s or first steps towards safety. Like that mindset
superb,
is important.
Superb. You've actually given me a fantastic line. Folks, speed and safety, if you're prepared, that's the lesson. And I think it's a very pertinent lesson for us motorcyclists to understand that speed is safety, but that's, at the same time, we need to be prepared. We need to wear our helmets. We need to wear our riding gear. Please be safe as you ride. Also, you talked about respect for the region, for the people, for the culture. We've been traveling to the mountains, both you and I, we've been traveling to the mountains, you a little differently, me a little differently, but for years. And we've seen the mountains change, not always for the better. How do you propose to advocate responsibility amongst visitors?
Of course, be more empathetic and try to be more sustainable. For example, if you are going to a place like Ladakh, try to eat local, sleep local, don't expect a lot of comfort, but still pay them well, contribute to the economy, but in a very sustainable way, such that it leaves the place better, if not worse. If you go there and consume a lot of things which come in single-use plastic, if you leave a lot of carbon footprint, then our next generation, or even we ourselves 5-10 years later, won't be able to experience those beauty. And in fact, I think you and I have already seen this in the past decade. Like I've been to Ladakh over 10 times. And it's not just our thing, but it's also the global warming, climate change. We are fighting a lot of stuff together. So just being mindful and making those small choices every day make a huge difference.
Superb. Make the small choices. Watch your consumption. Eat local. Don't expect too much, but be prepared to pay what is the right amount. Don't be stingy with people. Yeah. You know.
And be respectful of their culture.
Be respectful.
Be very empathetic. Like, don't change their culture and make them like us or people from the West or developed nations, you would see that why we go to Ladakh is because people are still very kind, humble, trust each other, and we go for those experiences, right? So let them be that way by adding to it, learning from them, not trying to change them and expecting the conveniences and comforts of our urban environments there.
I think this is a superb message to close this show on. The idea that you can leave every place better. I think that's a great message. Thank you so much, Harsh, for being with us here. Great knowing you.
It was a pleasure.